What's up, people? It is Sunday, September 16th. My name is B. Hill, and this is the Just My Opinion podcast, so let's talk. It has been a minute since the last podcast, and I apologize. It has been crazy the past few weeks, but ultimately, I've just been lazy doing it, and that's on me. I take full responsibility for that. Let's jump right into it. I am so glad that football season is back, college football as well as NFL. It has been boring the past few months without it, but the one thing I really want to talk about right now is Deion Sanders and the job that he's doing in Colorado. I've always respected Deion. I respect him as a man. I respect him as a coach. Because at Jackson State and at Colorado, he seems to really care about the kids and wanting them to be productive citizens. He talks about that constantly. But especially going to Colorado, there has been a lot of hate for this man. And I think it's been unjust, and I think it's been racist, honestly, because most of the criticism is coming from white men. They hate to see a confident black man succeed. They hate it, and they are waiting for his downfall. So to start, before they played the last game, or their first game last week, they played TCU. And prior to the game, all of these so-called experts were saying that Colorado was going to lose. They were going to get beat down. One dude actually said that Colorado had the worst roster in college football. They were projected to lose by 20. And TCU was a program that was in the national championship game earlier this year. So they played for a national title. Well, Colorado came out, they hung with them, and they won, I think it was 45-42. So Colorado started their season off 1-0, beat one of the top teams in the country, and beat them convincingly. Yesterday, Colorado played Nebraska. That was supposed to be another game that they were supposed to lose. Colorado, I think, beat them, I think it was like 36-13 or something like that. And I'm just so happy for Deion because of all the hate that he's been getting and all the people that just want to see this man fail. And all he's doing is just trying to be a good coach and a good leader and build character within that program. That's what I've seen. And he has high expectations for his team, socially as well as in the classroom, as well as on the field. But I think just the fact that so many people want to see him lose, I definitely think it stems from racism and just they hate his confidence. I've never heard him say anything negative about another program or another coach. And I'm just saying I've never heard him say it. I'm not saying he's never done it, but I've never heard it. But he always tries to show respect to people. And he doesn't get that same respect, especially over the summer. And with the transfer portal and everything, there was just so many criticisms of him and his program. And even if they didn't win another game the rest of the season, they've already doubled the number of wins that team had last year. Last year, Colorado was 1-11, and they're already 2-0. So it would be a success, but I know he's not going to be satisfied with that. And his son, Shador, he's turning out to be a really good quarterback. He has almost, I think, 1,000 passing yards. He's at like over 900 passing yards in just the first two games, and I think 7 passing touchdowns. Amazing start to his career at Colorado. So just much respect to Deion and the University of Colorado, and I just hope they continue to succeed despite all the negativity that people bring to them. Now on to NFL, kicked off on Thursday night, and I'm actually watching a couple of games right now, but Kansas City, they're going to have some issues without Travis Kelce. They ended up losing, and I forgot who they even played. Oh, they played Detroit Lions. And Detroit looks really good, too. I think they built a nice team up there. And our fantasy football league has started again. And one thing about the fantasy league that I run, sometimes I can be a little lenient. Like, as of right now, every year I have a policy or a rule that the fees must be paid by kickoff of the first regular season game, which was Thursday night at 7:20. At that point, I would say by 6 o'clock, there were three people that had not paid their fee. I sent text messages saying, hey, you know, I need to get this by 7:20 by kickoff, or there's a one game penalty, which means in their matchup for that week, if they win, I'm going to zero their points out and give them a loss. I'm going to remove all their points. That's a rule that I've had for the past 10 years. One dude that has been kind of consistent with paying late, he ended up sending me his money like 30 minutes after kickoff. And it's annoying because I've had issues with this dude before. I texted him on Monday or Tuesday of last week with the regular season starting on Thursday. He texted me Thursday at like 6 o'clock just to confirm it was $40. And I said, yeah, then, you know, an hour later he sent the money. The second person is my dad. I saw him last weekend. And I told him he needed to pay. And he was like, oh, yeah, I get you. So I saw him yesterday and got his money. But technically, I should be deducting points from him, too. And then the third person is one of my good friends. I know he's good for it, but it's $40 and you've known for 3 months, you know, what the deadline was. So I'm trying to be nice, but I think going forward, there's no excuses at this point. You know, because my dad is, this is his, I think, fourth season playing with us. But the other two have been around long enough. And you kind of taking my kindness for weakness. And I really don't appreciate it. I know you're good for it, but come on, that's $40, man. Over 3 months, you know better. So I'm going to follow up with him today. If he doesn't pay by Tuesday, he's going to be deducted points. And it's on him because I just talked to him last week and he knows the rules. He's been around, so shouldn't be a surprise. But outside of that, so far my teams are doing well, and I'm just enjoying the football right now. Then I want to talk about, there's been a lot of conversation about protecting black women. And this stems from a video that was posted by a lady who, she had a swollen face. And she claims that she was outside and there was a bunch of people around. She claims that somebody hit her in the face with a brick because she would not give her phone number to a dude. Now, when I first saw the video, you know, I was like, man, who would do that just because she wouldn't give a number? But then I kind of waited, didn't want to say anything about it. And things start coming up, like a couple of people that were there, because she was saying that all these people were standing around when she got attacked and nobody protected her. That's what she was talking about, the black men, that nobody protected her and they just allowed this to happen. Well, a couple of people that were there, you know, they've come out and said that that didn't happen. They said she's known to be a troublemaker within their community. They said that they didn't see her get hit with a brick. They didn't know what happened to her. Other people said that they weren't even there at the time, or the lady wasn't even there at the time around that group of people. They didn't know what happened to her. And just some weird stuff has been coming out about this situation, that they're saying that she did it on her own. So I'm not sure if it's true or not. But to the conversation about protecting black women, it's been interesting to get different perspectives, because one black lady said that you know, sometimes it's on an individual to protect themselves and not put themselves in situations where there could be harm. I totally get that. You know, and some people use that as an opportunity to bash men and say how, you know, we're no good and all of that stuff. And this just, it leads me to, I start thinking about like dating and stuff, because I'm single, I'm dating, and just recently I've been talking to somebody and we met online. So we decided to meet up last weekend, and initially we were supposed to meet on Saturday. She had picked a spot that was, she lives about an hour away. She picked a spot that was kind of in between, closer to me than her. We had always talked about meeting between 3 or 4 o'clock. And I actually went to the Cheesecake Factory and got her favorite cheesecake that I was going to surprise her with. Well, I get to the spot. Now, mind you, we briefly texted that day, but didn't necessarily confirm a time, because in our previous communication, she had already said between 3 and 4 o'clock. So I thought that was understood. Well, I get to the venue at about 2:45. 3 o'clock rolls around, she's not there. 3:30 rolls around, she's not there. 4 o'clock rolls around, she's not there. 4:15 rolls around, she's still not there. Then I get a text message about 4:20. And she's like, oh, what time we gonna meet? I said, well, I thought we were supposed to meet at 3. I've been here since 2:45. And she was like, oh, well, we didn't confirm it, and I just like to confirm stuff. I was like, you know what, cool, I'm going to the house. So I left. I wasn't necessarily mad, but I go back home. So we talked that night, and we decided to meet up the next day and have breakfast. So I get the cheesecake. I meet her for breakfast. She shows up. I'm not physically attracted to her. She was cool. We still been talking, but I'm not physically attracted to her, and I would not date her. But I paid for breakfast. I paid for cheesecake. No issues. I have zero issues paying for anything. But when I sit and think about it, what was she out of? I'm out of money for the cheesecake, for the breakfast. What is she out of? What did I gain from it? You know, it, maybe that's a shitty way of looking at it, but it is what it is. And I say that because I've been seeing a lot of stories from women talking about they will never answer the question when they meet someone of what do you bring to the table. And one girl was talking about, I'll never answer that question because I am the table. I don't need to, you know, tell you how much money I make. I need to know you can take care of me. You can take care of the dates. When we go out on our first date, the guy has to pay for her Uber there and home, has to pay for the meal. She needs to know that he's a provider and can take care of her. She doesn't need to prove anything because she's worth it. Okay, from a male perspective, how do we know you're worth it? We don't know you. And with this young lady I went out with, she's sweet as she could be. We had the conversation. You know, it's not necessarily specific to what do you bring to the table, but I always put out and state what I'm looking for and what I'm looking for in a partner. And I always tell them I'm looking for somebody independent, because I refuse to take care of another grown adult who's capable of taking care of themselves. And if you can't take care of yourself, I can't help you, because I'm not going to take care of me and you as well. I'm looking for a partner that we can build together. You know, because I look big picture. I want to put money in savings. I want to be able to travel and do what we want to do. When we go on vacation, I want to be able to splurge a little bit. I'm not talking about being frivolous, but just being able to enjoy our vacation. And that comes with planning. That comes with managing your funds. And that comes with being on the same page financially. I had a conversation with my ex-girlfriend a couple of weeks ago, and my ex-girlfriend is a sweetheart, and I will always love her, and I want her to be happy, and I want her to find somebody who's suitable for her. And it's just not me, because we think differently about what I feel are major things in a relationship. For instance, she's getting a settlement from a car wreck. And she had the car wreck a couple of years ago, so she had to buy a new car. Her car is maybe 2.5 years old. And she said she was thinking about when she get her settlement, paying her car off, and then going to get the SUV that she really wants. My thought process is, if you're paying your car off and your car is only 2 years old and it still has warranty on it, why would you create another bill? Why not just stack your money? But I told her, it's your money, you do whatever you want to do. But the person I'm looking for will understand that big picture and say, you know what, I can pay my car off, save money, then we can do other stuff, or she can do other stuff. I don't dictate what anybody does with their own money, because it's none of my business. But I told her, you know, it's your money, do whatever you want to. But the person I'm looking for wouldn't think like that. They would look at the bigger picture and want to save or even pay off other bills, not create bills when you can get rid of bills. It just doesn't logically make financial sense to me. But again, that's just me. And she thought I was being petty by saying that. Also, she just got another job and took a pay cut. And if you're already struggling, you find a job, yeah, you're happier, but that's gonna bring on additional stress because you're making less money. So if we got back together, what would that mean? I'm having to compensate for what you're lacking. And in a relationship, I don't have a problem helping you out, but when you're creating issues and you're going backwards, I'm 49 years old. I don't have time to wait on someone to get their stuff together. That's how I feel. And if I'm wrong, you know, everybody has their own opinion about stuff, and this is just my opinion and the way I look at things. I don't need anyone to help me with anything. Again, I'm looking for a partnership where we can support each other when needed, but I don't want to always be on me, especially financially. I'm not looking for anybody to take care of me. And again, I have no issue with paying for anything, but especially when you're new in a relationship and you're just talking to somebody and you're talking about what you're worth and you're worth this, and I don't know that, because we haven't had time for me to figure that out yet. You can tell me whatever, but it hasn't been proven to me. But yet females want a dude to come to the table with all of this stuff, finances and being able to take care of them. That's just crazy. And the person that was saying this stuff, it's hard to believe she even has a dude, honestly. But it is neither here nor there. But just dating, especially at 49, has been really interesting. And as I told the young lady I went out with, you know, I didn't have any expectations other than just to, you know, have a good conversation, which we did. Like I said, we've still been talking, but I just don't see anything romantic going on outside of just a friendship. She's a sweet person. And with her, I hope she finds the person that's meant for her. But I just don't think it's me. Until then, I'll keep looking. And it is what it is. There's been some crazy stuff on social media lately. Like, a lady just posted a video saying how happy she was. She said she's 29. She's not married. She doesn't have any kids. And she was just talking about how much she's enjoying her life. She went to the Beyonce concert, had some drinks, and didn't have to worry about paying a babysitter or just only having to worry about herself. And she was talking about how happy she was to be child-free and not married. And the negative comments she got from single dudes, you know, people talking about how she needed to kill herself for it. It's just crazy over somebody just enjoying their single life. I mean, social media can be such a negative place for no reason at all. You know, I've said before, I don't see why people go on any social media platform just to try to hurt somebody else's feelings. It's like, if you don't like something, just move on with your life. You don't have to comment. You know, these are miserable people that their intention is to hurt somebody else's feelings. Those are sad, lonely individuals, if that's how you get your kicks, by putting somebody else down. But all of the hate comments because somebody else is happy is just ridiculous. But that's kind of the social media area we're in. And then I saw an interesting story that a husband left his wife at the airport because she missed a flight. And the backstory to that is, originally they had a trip planned to go visit his daughter, so I'm assuming her stepdaughter. And the wife overslept, they missed their flight, so had to rebook. Then they get to the airport, they had boarding in 15 minutes, and the wife decides she wants to go to a different terminal to go to Starbucks. And at that point, he had to make a choice. Was he going to wait for his wife and possibly miss the flight again, or go see his daughter? He chose to go see his daughter, and I think that was the right choice. She's proven twice that she's doesn't really, in my opinion, want to be involved. It's almost like she's finding reasons not to go. She overslept the first time and then, you know, missed the flight the second time. So I think that's something that he really needs to evaluate, that relationship with his wife, because she doesn't really seem that she's that interested in making the daughter a priority. And I'm glad he made that decision to go see his daughter. So it would be interesting to see how that played out once he got back. But to me, it sounds like the wife didn't want to go in the first place, so he made the right decision. Then there was another video of a lady who's, she opened her front door and it was just a bunch of groceries out in her front door. And she's saying that her baby's father, she had called him and said that she needed some groceries, but she wanted him to send money. Instead of sending her the money, he bought a bunch of groceries and had them delivered to her house. And she was mad about that because she would have preferred the money. So she said she could get what she wanted to get them. And it looks like he spent quite a bit, because it was, I would say, at least 10 to 15 bags of groceries on her front door. But yeah, she's mad he didn't send money, but he is providing for his child. And based on just a short video, it sounds like she has multiple kids and not all of them are his. So all of that, those groceries will go to all of her kids, not just the one she has with him. And she just sounded so ungrateful that he spent the money on what she needed or on groceries, and not because he didn't send her the money. That just sounded extremely bitter and petty to me. And then the police are still out of control. There was a video of this black man and white man kind of squaring up on each other about to fight. And they were pushing each other. They were both the aggressor. Now, no punches were thrown, but it was a lot of talk, a lot of posturing and gesturing and some pushing. The police show up and immediately pepper sprayed the black dude. Now, both people were the aggressor. They pepper sprayed the black dude and then pulled the white dude to the side and said, you know, you're going to be okay. Without knowing the details, I mean, still, you know, being black is, you're assumed as the aggressor. And that's a perfect example of that. And then I saw a story this morning where police show up to a neighborhood on a shots fired call. A black homeowner heard the commotion and came outside to see what was going on. The police approached him. He talked to the police, but then they asked for ID and he refused to give it to him because he was on his own property and he hadn't done anything wrong. They put him in handcuffs and tried to arrest him for obstruction. A senior police officer came, told the police to take him out of the handcuffs. said he was good to go. A couple of days later, they came back with the warrant for the husband for obstruction. The wife said he wasn't at home, so they arrested the wife, took her to the station, and told her they would let her go once he turned himself in. And of course, they filed a lawsuit. I mean, that's just crazy. It's crazy. And what will happen is there will be a lawsuit, the police will lose, and taxpayers will have to pay. They'll end up paying for it. But that just makes no sense whatsoever. Going to a verbal middle finger for this week. Once again, it's the police officer, or it's the police department. There was a video that circulated earlier in the week, or last week, of a police officer kissing this lady and putting her in the back seat of his patrol car. They got in the back seat of a patrol car together and was in there for a while. So you can only guess what they were doing. But this was in broad daylight across the street from the house where there were kids and adults outside in plain view. So a video was taken, video posted online, went viral. The next day, or within the next couple of days, that house of where the video was taken from got raided by the police for no reason at all. They didn't have any probable cause, and they tore this man's house up. Every room, threw stuff out the drawers, slipped over the beds, ransacked the home. And of course, it was an act of intimidation because they released the video, because I think the officer was put on leave. But if this is the kind of retaliation you get for reporting something that the officer did wrong, and again, it was in broad daylight while he was on duty, he was in full uniform, and the police retaliate like that, you know, it makes you continue to lose faith in police officers' duty to protect and serve if they're going to retaliate, you know. So that whole police department gets the verbal middle finger, and I can't think of the name of it, but I think it was probably a police force in Florida, because Florida do some crazy stuff. And last but not least, the quote of the week is, sometimes your circle decreases in size but increases in value. Life is not about the quantity of friends you have, it's about the quality of friends you have. That is it for this week. I'm going to finish watching these games. Thank you for listening. God bless. Peace. Hey, what's up, peeps? It is Saturday, August 12th. My name is B. Hill, and this is the Just My Opinion podcast. So let's talk. Jumping into what's been going on in the news since the last podcast. Trump has been indicted again with another indictment from Georgia on the way any day now. This dude continues to speak badly about those that are prosecuting him. He also put out a statement that if you go after him, he's going to go after you, which sounds like a threat to me, but hey, what do I know? All of this under the parameters of free speech. He also continues to spread lies. He put out a statement about Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Georgia that's about to indict him, saying that she had a sexual relationship with a gang member, and that's definitely a defamation. Pretty sure he can't prove it, and I think she submitted a brief to the court that said that he must provide proof of what he's saying, or there'll be additional charges against him. But how he continues to get away with everything that he's been saying and doing over the past few years just continues to amaze me. Well, hell, the GOP as a whole. I mean, I'm still not over the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene showed naked pictures of Hunter Biden during the hearing, and there hasn't been any consequences for that. These are people who, they know no boundaries. They're going to continue to push the Mounders because there hasn't been any consequences. And again, I'll say this every time this subject comes up, I blame Merrick Garland for not initiating these indictments sooner, because this is what we're stuck with. But he continues to talk about going after his political opponents and continues to spread lies. And I give him credit, and him meaning Trump, I give Trump credit for how he manipulates his base, because he's able to publicly lie often, but none of this comes up in court. You know, he knows that his supporters will only listen to what he say. They won't do their due diligence or their research to see exactly what's being said in court itself, because he can say one thing in court and then come right out of court and lie and say a different story, something that didn't happen, and they'll believe what he says instead of looking for the facts. Giuliani just got in trouble in Florida because he finally admitted that he lied about the election fraud, and that's court documents. And it was interesting to see a right-wing podcaster, when he realized that he's been lied to and his money has been taken and he's been grifted, and to see that realization come across his face, it was eye-opening. But I just wish more people would understand that once he started listening to the facts. And this came out after the news that Giuliani admitted to lying about election fraud. He was able to see if the facts themselves and make his own determination that he had been lied to. But of course, the diehards who still think Trump is president right now, Joe Biden is a clone, and all of this other conspiracy theory nonsense, they'll just listen to what Trump says. But it's just, I say this every time, I'm tired of talking about this dude, but it's what's going on, and it's extremely important that information is out there, because this can affect the rest of our lives. And I'm kind of on the downside, so I'd like to make it as easy as possible. But this fool is freaking nuts. I hope he goes to prison, and really the only reason he's running is to avoid prison, because he thinks if he's elected, all of this, well, he'll just appoint people who'll just make all of this go away. So that's why it's so important that this should have been done a long time ago. But here we are. The GOP continues with their sham investigations of a citizen, Hunter Biden, and it has yielded absolutely nothing. All of these whistleblowers and witnesses, their so-called star witness, testified that he didn't hear anything from President Biden to Hunter of influencing anything. So everything that they've done has been a huge waste of time and taxpayer dollars, because nothing has been yielded from any of these investigations. No indictments, no arrests, no nothing. It's just been a huge waste of time. And now they're saying that because a reporter asked one of the lead congressmen on this committee about not having any direct proof or link that money trickled down to Joe Biden. And his response was, well, that was not the intent to show that Joe Biden actually got any money. It's just the view of if something could have happened, because of the fact they have Hunter Biden's phone records, and it shows that he talked to Joe Biden 20 times during a certain period of time. Well, that's a father and son talking. That's just ridiculous. You don't know what the phone calls were about. You're trying to make something out of nothing. And again, without any proof of anything, they can't make a direct connection. And now they're saying that that was not the purpose anyway. It's just the phone calls make it seem like a sense of impropriety on Joe Biden's part, where he could have possibly said something to influence Hunter's business dealings. So again, just a huge waste of time. I saw an article where Walmart is selling anti-Trump merchandise. So now his supporters want to boycott Walmart, just like they did Bud Light. Talk about snowflakes. These are the ones that always talk about how liberals and Democrats are snowflakes and cancel culture. But they got mad that a transgender was drinking a beer and boycotted the whole beer company. They're the ones trying to change history and ban books. It's just so stupid. The world we live in right now is just so stupid. It's full of stupid people. I just don't get it. Then there was a man in Utah that made credible threats against Joe Biden because President Biden was going to visit Utah, and he made very credible threats about unaliving him, and the FBI paid him a visit. And apparently that went very wrong because they ended up in a gunfight and the man got shot and killed. And you know what? Oh well, that's what he gets. I've never heard of anybody from the left threatening to kill anybody, especially not on the levels that we see coming from the right. It's just craziness. And then the Alabama boat dock brawl that happened last week. There was a ferry trying to dock where it usually docks, where it's supposed to dock, and there was a boat of white people in the way. The black guy that was one of the captains on the ferry got off the ferry and went and asked them to move their boat. Words were exchanged. Several white men got off of the boat and attacked the black dude. I mean, it was basically one against four or five. And he was holding his own pretty well. And next thing you know, black people came out of everywhere to help this man. And it became utter chaos. And there was a huge brawl, a lot of injuries, arrests. A black man got a folding chair, was hitting people with the folding chair. He actually struck a woman. And although I am not a proponent of violence, I don't condone it at all, but she was part of the ones that started it, and there is cause and effect. And what's interesting is afterwards, there were a lot of non-melanated people making comments on social media about how this man never should have hit this woman and he's a coward, and how it took 20 black people to beat up three white men, and how they're uncivilized. And they always fail to go back to how it started. This man was just doing his job, asking them to move, and four or five people jumped him. That's how it started. And there are consequences for actions. And some of those consequences were some people got hit in the head with a chair. Again, I'm not condoning it. That's just what happened. There's cause and effect. If they never would have started jumping the man, none of this never would have happened. That's just the end of it. I think people are getting really tired of having to be the bigger person and turn the other cheek all of the time. Because what happens is there are so many microaggressions that people bring to us, and it's getting old. And what I mean by microaggressions is that if you watch any social media, I'm sure you've seen a situation where a black person's trying to go into a building or get on the elevator, and somebody's blocking them and asking them, you know, what apartment do you live in, where do you live, type of thing. And then when they call the police, they always sound like the victim. And if the black person gets upset, raises their voice, you come across as the angry black person. So in a lot of these situations, we have to maintain our cool and kind of be the bigger person. And it gets old after a while. It just does. So I got a feeling that we're going to start seeing more not retaliation, but defense of ourselves, and not just turn the cheek and making sure everything is cool, because it's getting out of hand. we have a right to exist. And people are getting tired of being questioned about why you're in a certain space or in a certain place or why are you over here, you don't belong here, that kind of thing. I think on the last podcast I talked about the black man fishing in his own neighborhood, and three people in the same day asked him if he lived there, because all the residents could fish in that pond and actually call the police on him. People are getting tired of that kind of behavior. It's like, mind your business. We're not messing with anybody. We're not doing anything wrong. And I don't see how these people continue to feel like they have the right to question us. It's none of your business. Just mind your business. That's kind of what it boils down to. Also, six former Mississippi police officers pled guilty for torturing two black men. And apparently this happened because the black men dated white women. And these six officers, they called themselves the Goon Squad. Somebody reported that it was a black guy over a white lady's house, or two black guys at this white woman's house. They called one of the police officers. He in turn called five other cops and asked them if they wanted to do something about it. They showed up at this house. They were off duty. They didn't have a warrant. And they tortured these two men for hours and even shot one of them in the mouth just because they dated a white woman. And that's Mississippi for you, for sure. But there are other states and towns like that across the U.S. And it's 2023, and these are still the things that we're dealing with. And then Houston, one of the largest counties in Texas, has decided to eliminate libraries from their schools and replace them with discipline centers. This is just a continued war on education that we've seen in Texas and Florida, and some other states are following suit. But why are you removing entire libraries? I mean, they started with banning books, but now they're removing entire libraries. I mean, they're trying to already rewrite history, erase a lot of curriculum from the schools, and eliminating libraries for people to can't even get books. I mean, this is just crazy. The war that they have on education going on is just ridiculous. They want people to be stupid, because I think they understand that the more educated you are, the better decisions you make for yourself once you get older and you're able to vote. So they want to, that to me is somewhat like indoctrination too, because you're not allowing people to be free thinkers and learn on their own. You want to dictate what they learn and how they learn it. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be watered down version of actual history or not even the truth. Florida has already started with their curriculum wanting to teach how slavery was beneficial for black people and how they learned skills that could help them throughout the rest of their lives. And along those lines, I heard something very interesting that I personally need to research first, but I saw a video where a guy was talking about hush puppies, and like the hush puppies that you eat, and how they were created. And basically from what he said is that slaves would take the cornmeal and fry it and would throw it. If they had escaped, they would throw it in hopes that it would hush the dogs that were chasing them. So it was kind of like a distraction for the dogs that were chasing them. So basically to hush the puppies. I find that very interesting. And also an extremely sad story. And unfortunately, I don't know what city or state this was in. But a lady went into labor to have her and her partner's first child. She went to the hospital. She was a little late before, I think, like 10, 11 hours. And when it was finally time to push, as she was pushing, the baby was not coming out. And the baby got stuck around the shoulders. So only the head was exposed. The doctor came in, was pulling on the baby, and the baby wouldn't come out. So the doctor decided to do a C-section. Took her to the operating room, proceeded to do the C-section. And once she got the lady open and pulled the baby out, all that came out was from the neck down. The head was not attached. This doctor had pulled on the baby's head so hard during the delivery, it detached from the rest of the body. And this is a true story. I watched the press conference with the family's attorney, but I cannot imagine the pain and anger that this family is going through. Your first child being decapitated by a doctor's mistake. And if I'm not mistaken, the doctor was a fairly new resident, but I don't even have words to express what I would be feeling or going through with something like that. And it definitely leaves you with fear of dealing with doctors. I mean, at this point, especially Black women have already, it's been proven that they have issues with childbirth anyway. The infant mortality rate during childbirth for women is, especially Black women, is high. But I don't even know what to add to that story, so I'm just going to kind of leave that right there. But I keep praying for the family, but I know there's nothing that can take that pain away. But on to some positive news. I saw a good story about Taylor Swift and something she did for her truck drivers. It's reported that she gifted her 50 truck drivers a minimum of $100,000 a piece after she completed her tour, and some up to $200,000, also with handwritten notes thanking them for everything they did to help her throughout her tour. And as a thank you to her, as her limo was leaving, all of the truck drivers went to their trucks and honked their horns for her, just as an acknowledgement of her kindness. And her father called the lead truck driver and told him that she was in tears with gratitude from them. But I think, you know, that tour made a whole lot of money, and the fact that she decided to gift them something that could be life-changing for a lot of people, I think that's amazing. And I think that kind of shows what kind of person she is and her appreciation for the people that work for her. So I thought that was a dope story. But also, on this past Monday, I celebrated my 49th birthday. Amazing time. I'm blessed to see 49. Looking forward to 50. I know that's going to be a blast as well. But on last Sunday, I flew to Las Vegas and met up with a couple of friends. And Vegas was amazing. Sunday, we got there. I mean, I got up at like 4:30 in the morning. My flight was at 11. So get to Vegas. One of my friends that led me there, he landed close to the same time. So we just linked up in the airport and took an Uber over to the hotel. This was his first time in Vegas. So just kind of soaked it in for a little bit. Went out to the promenade. We stayed at the Link Hotel. And the Link has a promenade outside, so we hung out on the promenade for a little bit. And then we had a show. We went to see Lunell, the comedian, at Jimmy Kimmel's comedy show right there at the Link promenade. And Lunell was hilarious. She had an opener. He was cool, but Lunell was hilarious. And she was actually on stage for about 2 hours. And I had to leave. I was so tired. By this time, it was almost midnight. I had been up since about 4:30 in the morning. So I just told my boy, I'm like, say, I can't stay any longer. So I had to leave. But she was hilarious. She told us she had been eating edibles, so she might just kind of start talking about random stuff, which she did. And that was kind of funny too. But it was a good show. He ended up staying until the end. He got a chance to meet her afterwards, which I thought was cool. But again, I just couldn't stay. Monday was my actual birthday. We hung out around the hotel early in the day, and then we went to the Venetian and had dinner at this restaurant called Chica. It's a upscale restaurant, and we had talked about it before, so we knew it was going to be an expensive experience, so we were prepared for that. We ordered a 42-ounce tomahawk steak that, you know, they cook in the back, but bring it to your table and actually set it on fire to have it char just a little bit. That was cool. It was good. The service was good. We got a few sides. I got some type of macaroni and cheese with like jalapeno sauce or something. It was excellent. And then our server was absolutely amazing. She was one of the dopest people I've ever met in my life. So we got a chance to talk to her, took some videos, some pictures with her. Just a cool individual. The assistant manager came over. She was cool. And she sent me out a free dessert. And one thing that they're known for is called the Flaming Skull dessert. And it's a skull, but it's made out of chocolate. And it's painted in gold, actual gold flakes. And then on the inside, they set that on fire. They set the skull on fire. And on the inside is a chocolate lava cake. So they brought that out, set it on fire, lit the candle, let me make a wish and blow it out. But that was just a really dope experience. So it was worth what we paid for it just to have that experience. And the cool thing is we split the bill, but it was still a pretty hefty bill, but we split it. It was cool. We had prepared for it, so no big deal. Just a wonderful experience. And then after that, we went and saw Eddie Griffin. He was at, what hotel was he at? Planet Hollywood. He was at Planet Hollywood, so we went over there, went to Eddie Griffin's show, and it was one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life. I have seen him before, but he was with D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer, and George Lopez. So his set was only 15, 20 minutes, but you know, whole hour of him, it was just bad. He's extremely homophobic, misogynistic, anything you can think of, he is racist. And at the end of his show, and he did this the last time I saw him, he'll always say, you know, if you're offended, it's just jokes and you don't know how to take a joke. But when you are talking about killing trans people, that's not a joke to me. That's a bit too far. So I would not recommend his show at all. I wasted $91 on this show. I didn't find anything funny. The only thing funny, I would say, was he initially started talking about the Alabama slammer. There was the boat dock situation. He talked about that for a little bit. But outside of that, I did not enjoy that show. I gave it a 3 out of 10. My friends gave it like a 5 out of 10. So neither one of us really enjoyed the show. It was just way too much and just not funny. I mean, there were really no jokes. So it was kind of a waste of time. But, you know, it is what it is. You live and you learn. But I'd never see him again. I'd never support anything he's doing either. Just not my kind of comedian. So everything is not a joke to me. I think there are some limits to what you consider a joke, but that's just me. That was Monday. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we just kind of chilled and did our own thing. They wanted to spend time at the pool. I'm not a pool person, so I took an Uber over to South Point Casino, and played poker. And on Tuesday, I wasn't at the poker table 5 minutes, and I won a random seat drawing of $200. I mean, every hour they do a drawing, and each poker table is numbered, and each seat at the poker table is numbered. Less than 5 minutes, I'm sitting down, my table and seat number came up, and they just came and gave me $200 worth of chips that I cashed out at the end of the day. So that was a good day for me. Wednesday, went back to South Point, played some more poker for about 4 or 5 hours. Lost like $100, but you know, $100 in 4 or 5 hours is good with me. Had dinner that night and came home on Thursday. I was glad to be home. I wasted a lot of money in Vegas because Ubers are so expensive. The last time I was in Vegas was in 2019, and I remember being able to take a trip, you know, for $9-$10, like from going to the Link on the Strip to South Point Casino was $31 one way, and I had to get back, and I did it twice because I went the next day too. So we spent a lot of money on Ubers, and we split the cost on it, but with that trip, I went by myself, so I paid for it. But the rest of the time, we kind of split the cost on Ubers. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but everything is just so expensive. At one point, we got back from, I think it was the Eddie Griffin Show, late. And I went, there was only a few things open in the hotel that you could eat. So I went to this little deli. I got a breakfast sandwich, which was a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant, a bottle of water, a 20-ounce soda, and a Three Musketeer, and that was like $32. So the pricing on the Strip is outrageous. But it was just a wonderful vacation. It was extremely relaxing. It was exactly what I needed at the moment I needed it. I do feel relaxed. I'm back to reality now. I go back to work on Monday. But I absolutely enjoyed my birthday. It was one to remember, and I'm glad I got to hang out with a couple of friends and kind of get them acclimated to Vegas because it was both of their first times, and they can't wait to go back, so we'll plan something else in the future, but it was just a good time. And then yesterday, I went to Waffle House for breakfast, and it's a Waffle House I used to live closer to, so some of the waitresses there know me, and when I walked in, I saw one of them I know, and she came over, gave me a hug, and she knew I was going to Vegas, so she was asking to see pictures and stuff, and she was kind of scrolling through the pictures, and she saw a video from my birthday dinner, and she saw the steak, and she was like, oh, that looks like an expensive restaurant, you know, how much was that steak? And I said, you know, you really don't want to know. She's like, oh, yeah, tell me. So I told her how much it was. And then she asked about the dessert. She asked me how much it was. I told her. So then she started making comments like, wow, I'm just trying to help my daughter pay for her baby shower. And, you know, I'm just not sure how I'm going to do that. And basically trying to guilt me into giving her a good tip. And it kind of pissed me off because you asked the question, but I'm not made of money. I just budgeted to the point where I knew what I was going to spend. And I haven't been on a vacation, a real vacation, since 2019. So I wanted to treat myself. That's me. I work hard for my money. But it annoyed me that I felt like she was trying to give me a guilt trip and to give her a bigger tip. And also in Vegas, while I was waiting on my Uber to go play poker at South Point, I was sitting on the bench, and this homeless dude was asleep on another bench, and he woke up and saw me sitting there. And then it was, man, I wish I just had a couple of dollars to go to McDonald's, and you know, I'm kind of hungry, and you know, just that guilt trip stuff. I ended up giving him a couple of dollars because, for one, the money I gave him, I was just going to mess off anyway in a slot machine or something. So if I could help somebody, cool. But I just don't like the fact of trying to be guilted into doing stuff. I'm a very generous person, but that guilt thing just, it gets me, because it's not like I don't work hard for my money. And I want to be able to enjoy it without any issues. But that just kind of bothered me, especially with the waitress at Waffle House. That really kind of bothered me, though. But anyway, the rubber middle finger for this week goes to Ice Cube. And I saw, before I went on vacation, I saw he had did an interview with Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about how he's a free thinker, and a lot of people on the left don't like that. And no, I just think you're out for yourself, because a lot of stuff he's been saying lately, especially after the last election or leading up to the last election, I just was not on board with. He was talking about holding your vote hostage and all of that stuff. And at this point in time, we can't afford to not vote, because you, regardless of who you vote for, you're not going to get everything you want personally, but it's about the bigger picture. And we could not afford to let this nutcase anywhere near the White House again. But I think he's all for himself. I heard him doing interviews about the Big Three and how he's mad that Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA, won't partner with him, and talking bad about him because the NBA doesn't want to partner with the Big Three. And like, they don't have to. You know what? Make your own way, dude. And it, like I said, I think he's just out for himself, and he's not looking at the bigger picture for everybody else. So in doing this interview with Tucker Carlson, just solidify how I feel about him, and I'll never support anything else he does. So middle finger to you, Ice Cube, to hell with you. And then the quote for this week is, the ability to not care about anybody else's opinions is the singular gateway to happiness. I cannot agree more. Well, that is it for this week. The next time I talk to you, I would have been back at work, so I probably won't be in a good mood. But thank you for listening. I appreciate it. God bless. Peace.